November through April. I think those are my favorite times of year here on the Central Coast. Because the light is always really nice, and we get weather, storms, winter, things get green. And when you work outside like I do, weather plays a big part in your life. And as some of you know, I work out in Montanadero State Park at an outdoor science school called Camp Keep. And sometimes we'll have a lot of kids out there. And when I have 100 city kids and we're outside under adverse weather conditions, adds a little extra challenge to the job to keep them positive and make sure they're having fun. But I like it because I love winter. And I think the winter that stands out in my mind probably is the winter of 1994 and 95. It was an El Nino winter. And that winter started off, innocently enough, like any other winter, with the arrival of the monarch butterflies. And we had thousands of monarchs come out to our area there that year. And there were so many monarchs, it kind of freaked a lot of the kids out because they'd get off the bus and there'd be butterflies flying everywhere and girls would be shrieking. But they were just butterflies. At night, they would go roost in the trees and the eucalyptus trees that surrounded our camp, this forest there. And they would hang in the branches like big, giant orange and black bunches of grapes just hanging from the limbs. And then the morning when it would get warm, they would slip down to the grass and drink the dew. And then they'd rise into the air and dance in the breeze and drink nectar from the trees. Just beautiful thing to have in your upper level of your view, these butterflies flying around. Well, as autumn rolled into fall, the storms started increasing with regularity. And if you live or work by the coast, one of the things that you notice from these storms are the waves. And some of the biggest waves I've ever seen in my life were right off this coast. They were over 25 feet tall. And what struck me was not how big the waves were, but how far out to sea they would break with these booming crashes. And then you get these 15-foot high walls of white water rushing in up onto the dunes or onto the rocks or all the way up the creek sometimes. And then what we would do sometimes is after these big wave events, when the tide was low and the waves had subsided, I could walk down on the beach with the kids. And it's like Mother Nature decided to redecorate, move some furniture around. And, you know, sand that was there once was now gone, or rocks the size of refrigerators with sea anemones and sea stars and sea urchins still attached to them, just tossed up onto the beach. The other thing about winter storms are the winds. And normally on the coast, you get the northwesterly winds that are pretty regular. But then when the storms come, you get those weird southeasterly winds. And these winds move pretty quickly the stronger the storm is, because they're racing in to fill that vacuum created by that large low-pressure system that's bearing down out of the Pacific. And when you live in a eucalyptus forest, and the sound of the wind going through the eucalyptus forest is like a freight train, and you can hear the gusts coming from off in the distance, and it builds, and the trees start moaning and cracking, and the branches are rattling, and all of a sudden it hits you, you're hanging onto your hat, and there's leaves and debris rolling, and then the gust moves on. And then you hear the next one building, coming towards you. You're like, is it going to be stronger? What's it going to break this time? There was a storm in January of that year that hit on Tuesday. The kids arrived on Monday. It hit on Tuesday. And I happened to come to work late that day. And we're driving through the eucalyptus forest. And as I was driving through the eucalyptus forest, it looked like a giant was just shaking everything. And the trees were vibrating. And I was staring out the windshield going, man, look at all these branches. And all of a sudden I thought, I probably shouldn't have my head against the windshield like that. I should have it back as far as I can away from the windshield in case anything came through. And when I got to the campus, all the kids were out on their walks. We walk rain or shine. We give them little yellow ponchos, the placebo ponchos, I call them. And they go off and they go out in the rain. And but they were gone. And so I arrived there with one other person who was there, and our supervisor. And as I got there, big fat drops were whistling through the air. They stung as they hit because the wind is always strongest right before the front hits. And I went into our kitchen. Our kitchen trailer was an old vintage World War II tractor trailer, basically. And that's what the kitchen was in. And it had a big awning on one side of it. And standing in that kitchen trailer, there were gusts that would hit and the whole trailer would move back and forth. And a little concerned that it might get knocked over. And then this gust came and just ripped the awning down and just dropped it right in front of the trailer. And then another gust came about a half minute after that and I heard this loud pop. I couldn't figure out what it was, so I went through the awning and climbed through there into our dome. And our large multi-purpose room there is a geodesic dome that's made out of like metal pipes and hubs, kind of like Tinker Toys. And it was huge. You could fit about 150 people in there. And inside this dome, the top of the dome is covered with heavy-duty vinyl tarps, crisscrossed with ropes tied all over the place. But what had happened is that gust of wind had come and hit one side of the dome and popped the hub in. So now our normally convex shape of the dome had a dimple on one side of it, a little concave area, which allowed the wind to get up underneath one of the tarps, and it started acting like a sail, slowly pulling the dome up. And I could hear the supports on the dome, pop, 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 loosening, and the whole dome started collapsing on one side. It hit the water fountain, and water shooting up into the air. The lights are sparking as they're starting to come down, but then power went out, so that was good. Now, keep in mind, the kids, they're out walking during this, okay? And there were kids at Moore Rock linking hands as they were trying to get back to the bus. Kids out on the dunes walking back to camp with their ponchos just literally getting ripped from their body and flying out into the ocean. And the naturals are like, I hope there wasn't a kid attached to that. They come back to the campus, and we're struggling trying to secure the dome. They're like, it's raining. We want to go in the dome. It's like, you can't go in the dome right now. Just go into this trailer. And I remember this sea of faces looking at us as we're scrambling around trying to tie this thing down. The tarps finally ripped apart, and which stopped the pushing of the dome, but we still had to tie it down, so we found a tractor. We got our tractor and tied it to the tractor with our tug-of-war rope. It was the heaviest thing we could think of, and if it took that, you know, we did what all we could. As we're doing this, all of a sudden up on the hillside, I see this metal shed lift off, and it's rolling through the air. I'm thinking, Auntie Em, Auntie Em! And they went right past us down into the ravine. Later, we found out that at Diablo Canyon, they were clocking winds of over 80 miles an hour during this point. And it was a 30 minutes of high adrenaline. It seemed longer than that. Well, our dome was destroyed. We got the kids out of there. It was destroyed. And so for the next 3 weeks, we spent repairing this thing. We worked 7 days a week, day in and day out. Whole days were lost trying to dig trucks out of the mud because it kept raining. We finally repaired it after 3 weeks, got the kids back in there, but it kept raining. It rained every single day in the month of February. We had measurable precipitation. The window to the west was open. It was the Pineapple Express, just wave after wave of rain. We had boardwalks connecting all the buildings because if you stepped off the boardwalks into mud, the whole thing was like a sponge out there. And naturally, kids, when they got there on Monday, they didn't stay on the boardwalks. They just had wet feet for the whole week. And it kept raining. And it went into March. And then in March, it started tapering off. We had this 1 week in March where everything was cool. We got in all our walks. It was great. But all week long, we kept hearing big storm on the horizon. There's a really big storm coming in. It's coming in. And sure enough, the wind started picking up. The waves started getting big. And then Thursday at 3:30 in the afternoon, right after the kids finished their last walk, they got inside our newly rebuilt dome. And the heavens opened up, and it started raining. And it rained hard. And I went home that night, and I turned on the weather channel, and I could see yellow and red blobs right over the central coast. I woke up the next morning, turned on the weather channel, yellow and red blobs right over the central coast. This storm had parked itself right there. This was the same storm that flooded Cambria, the west end of Cambria, where people were rowing boats down the street of Cambria. We had 10 inches of rain in less than 24 hours from that storm. As I drove through the flooded streets of Los Osos, weaving my way around downed trees, I went into the park, trees all, you know, everywhere, weaving my way. I got to the campus. I went to the teacher. I said, we got to get these kids out of here while we can. It was still dumping down rain. We called the buses from Bakersfield. They were supposed to be there anyway at 11 o'clock. Well, they left Bakersfield. They didn't get there until 2 o'clock. At 2 o'clock, they finally got there. There's still rain sheeting down. There's no, the ground can't hold any more water. It's just, there's gopher holes squirting up with geysers of water like 2 feet tall. They get the kids in the bus. They're like, well, now what are we going to do? All the roads are closed back to Bakersfield. We're like, you can't stay here. You got to get out now. They ended up driving all the way down to LA and then back up to Bakersfield. The kids didn't get back until 10 o'clock that night. The road into the park got washed out in 3 places. And so the next week, we were closed, couldn't have kids. But we got to go into the park and we walked around. Again, Mother Nature's redecorating, you know, a creek channel changed here, a sea cliff gone right there. This hill, wasn't that hill? Was that a hill right there? No, now it's down there. Things had changed. But the thing, the storm that I think I remember the most is one that happened earlier in the season. And it was not a lot of rain, but the wind was kind of a creepy wind then. And I remember laying in bed thinking to myself about the butterflies. How do they survive these windstorms? And so the next morning, I had a walk where I was going to go down to the beach, and we took a detour through where the butterflies had their roosting areas. And it was carnage. There was just butterflies everywhere, their wings plastered to the mud. There's some, their wings were just battered. Others looked like they ended up getting like sliced through twigs as they were blown through there. A number of them okay, climbing up, trying to get to a spot where they could get warm. And the looks on the kids' face, they're just looking at all the butterflies. They're like, "Gee, we need to do something. What are we going to do?" And, you know, I'm like, "Natchez." I'm like, "Oh, you know, this is nature. You know, things happen like this." But then I said, "Okay, look, here's what we can do." So I went over and I found a butterfly. I said, "If you cuff the butterfly in your hand and you breathe, just breathe in your hand, your warm breath will warm the butterfly up. And then you open your hand up and the butterfly would fly off." And they're like, "Oh, okay." So they started doing this. And there's one kid, there's always one in a group. And we started doing this. And one kid's like, "Why are we doing this? Look at all these butterflies. What we're doing is not going to make a difference." And this other kid, his friend, still blowing on his butterfly, lets his butterfly go and turns at his friend and says, "Made a difference to that one." And all the other kids went, "Ooh." And so we spent the next 15, 20 minutes making differences in butterflies' lives. And they say that we're supposed to have a El Nino winter this winter, and I hope we do. I mean, we could sure use the water. We could sure use the rain. I could use a few more stories.